Radio Prague News.
Changes to elementary school funding might reduce the number of classes at village schools, according to the Education Ministry. The majority of Czechs believe that the current political system does not ensure equal opportunities. And archaeologists in Prague have discovered the oldest evidence of ploughing in the Czech lands. Planned changes to the funding of elementary schools might reduce the number of classes at Czech village schools, Education Ministry officials told a news conference in Prague on Monday. Under the new plan, primary and secondary schools would receive funding on the basis of their occupancy, rather than the number of pupils or students. This might lead to the end of 5th to 8th grades in Melin village schools, while other small schools would probably group pupils in split classes. Education Minister Josef Dobeš believes the changes, which would come into force next year, would save up to 1 billion crowns. However, the plan has been rejected by the Czech Union of Towns and Municipalities and other regional associations, while the opposition has criticized it as chaotic. Some 82% of Czechs believe that the current political system does not ensure equal opportunities, according to a new poll by the STEM agency released on Monday, the highest number since 1997. Those who believe the system does provide equal opportunities for everyone tend to be young, educated and rich, as well as right-wing voters. However, the number of those who gave an affirmative answer dropped sharply since last year's poll. Two-thirds of those who took part in the survey said that politicians hold the power and common people are helpless in pursuing their goals. The poll also showed that nearly 75% of people base their evaluation of the system on material values and living standard, rather than on the extent of freedom and democracy. The Czech National Bank has dismissed proposals to issue a 10,000 crown bill with the portrait of Václav Havel. The bank said in a statement on Monday that the suggestions were not grounded in the law, the common practice, or the needs of the currency system, adding that significant personalities, events, and anniversaries are honored by commemorative coins. The idea to issue a new 10,000 crown bill, which would be the highest nominal value of all Czech banknotes, came from the Czech Numismatics Association. Other proposals of how to best honor the late Václav Havel include naming Prague's Ruzyně Airport or leading Czech theatre after him. Archaeologists in the Prague district of Bubeneč uncovered a set of furrows, which they believe is the oldest evidence of ploughing in the Czech lands, a spokeswoman for the Czech Academy of Science said on Monday. The survey, which took place last year, found four such irregular furrows that were 10 centimeters wide, 8 centimeters deep, and 9 meters long, dating to the middle of the 4th millennium BC. The spokeswoman said the furrows were most likely not created as part of ritual ploughing, and should be therefore considered the oldest known evidence of an agricultural field in the country, between 100 and 200 years older than the earliest known evidence so far. The Slovak film actress and producer Dana Horvátová-Jakubisková has been charged with manslaughter in connection with last year's fatal car accident that killed a 62-year-old pedestrian in Prague. The police said Ms. Horvátová-Jakubisková had failed to yield to the man on a pedestrian crossing. The man died on the spot. She faces 6 years in prison if convicted. Dana Horvátová-Jakubisková, the wife of the director Jura Jakubisko, recently appeared in the Czech film Kajínek and in the 2008 epic saga Báthory, which she also produced. Czech hockey forward Zbyněk Irgl of Dynamo Minsk was voted the forward of the week in the Continental Hockey League. The 31-year-old player scored 2 goals and 3 assists in 2 games during the past week, and now ranks 12th in the competition's charts with 13 goals and 21 assists. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days will be mostly overcast with snow showers and rain, particularly in lower places. Daytime highs should range between minus 1 and plus 3 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Hter, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and I'm Peter Smith. Coming up in today's programme, it seems that more and more doctors are being lost to the Czech health system as work abroad offers better pay and prospects. We take a closer look at this growing trend. And in sport, Czech players gear up for the first tennis major of the year as the Australian Open gets underway. And as if there weren't enough big fish down under, stay tuned for One-on-One.
And probably the most interesting fish for me was my first arapaima in the Amazon. It was kind of a miracle for me.
Well, did he catch it or throw it back? Find out with Sarah Borovka, who speaks to the Czech big fish hunter Jakub Wagner. This is Radio Prague. Please stay tuned. Efforts to stem the brain drain from Czech hospitals are proving harder than expected. The number of doctors who quit their jobs in search of higher salaries and better work opportunities abroad in 2011 is the highest in the country's modern history. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Too little, too late is how many doctors see the efforts of the health ministry to finally give them their due. Even with a 20% salary hike that the ministry can ill afford to give at a time of steep cuts in government spending, the salary of a young doctor at the outset of his career is an average 22,000 crowns. That's 2,000 crowns less than the country's national average and four times less than he would get in neighbouring Germany or Austria. Martin Wetelski said there was never any question about where he would start work. On graduating, he turned down all offers from Czech hospitals and arranged to work in a German hospital located in Weiden, just 20 kilometers from the Czech border. He has never regretted the decision.
Of course, the money was a big motivating factor, but so was the fact that this hospital offers better opportunities for postgraduate students, and I really wanted to improve my language skills.
Martin makes four times the amount he would be making at home and says that the work conditions surpassed his expectations.
I was very impressed by the interpersonal relations here, both among the staff and in relation to patients. The patient-doctor relationship is on an excellent level, and that is very pleasing and helpful.
In the course of 2011, close to 180 graduates and over 500 highly qualified specialists took work abroad, mostly in German and Austrian hospitals, the highest number in the country's modern history. In Bavaria, for instance, graduates just starting their career make what the best Czech physicians and surgeons make at home. In 2011, a fifth of all new graduates never even bothered to test the waters in Czech hospitals. The dean of the medical faculty of Charles University, Tomáš Zima, says this is a huge loss for the health sector.
As a citizen, I regret this trend and see it as a huge loss. Some of our most promising doctors take their skills abroad instead of using them here and repaying their considerable debt to society.
The loss of some of the country's most promising physicians is not likely to change anytime soon. According to a deal between the government and trade unions, another hike in doctor salaries next year should see the average wage of an experienced doctor climb to 70,000 crowns a month. Even then, though, he or she will be making less than a graduate fresh out of school in neighbouring Germany.
Daniela Lazarová with that report there. You're tuned to Radio Prague and it's day one of the Australian Open. And with news from Down Under and a roundup of the rest of the sport, here's Christian Falvey.
Starting with tennis and the Australian Open in Melbourne, where three Czech players, among them the country's number one, Tomáš Berdych, advanced to the second round on Monday. World number seven, Berdych, had the wind and heat to compete against as he faced Albert Ramos. The Spaniard put up tough opposition, but the second half of the match clearly belonged to Berdych, who came out the victor after nearly 3 hours. He will now meet Belgian Oliver Rochus in the second round. Meanwhile, in her third appearance at the Australian Open, Petra Tsetkovska finally fought through the first round, defeating Ayumi Morita 3-6, 6-1, 7-5. Iveta Benešová then looked to be down against Matilda Johansson, but turned things around in the last set. She now will meet 16th seed Xiao Peng of China on Wednesday. Worst news for Czech number 2, Lucia Šafářová,
who had more trouble with the wind and lost to American Christina McHale after two sets, 2-6, 4-6. Lastly, Eva Birnerova crashed out of the tournament, losing to Spain's Annabel Medina.
If I just pick you up there for a second, Christian, did you say three Czech players went through on the first day?
I did indeed.
You did indeed. Five British players crashed out, went out on the first day. But anyway, that's regardless of nationality. Petra Kvitová kicks off tomorrow.
Yes, she does indeed.
Petra Kvitová, I believe she's up against Věra Duševina, who's actually 82nd in the world. So she shouldn't have much of a problem, really. But she didn't perform very well after Wimbledon last year. The first seed in the tournament is Caroline Wozniacki, who has the amazing ability to be number one in the world without ever having won a Grand Slam tournament. At least Kvitová has. So fingers crossed there for the Czechs. Sorry to interrupt you, carry on.
No, should be no problem for world number two, Petra Kvitová. Now, going on to handball in the European Championships in the Serbian city of Niš, the Czech team made an impressive opening game showing with a win over Germany. The Germans made a strong push against the Czechs 14-9 halftime and also came in close again in the final part of the match, but the Czechs held out. The victory was all the sweeter for the fact that most of the Czech professional team plays in the German top handball league, including the current world handball player Filip Jicha, who scored 7 goals in the game, and Daniel Kubeš, who had this to say about the match when talking to Czech television.
I think Czech television viewers saw that we simply wanted to win a lot more than the Germans did. Even though there were moments when we weren't playing as well and it just started to be standard level handball, at the end of the day we just wanted it more than they did, and we put them under so much pressure that they couldn't hold out.
Daniel Kubeš there. Now in the NHL, Czech goaltender Tomáš Vokoun shined in a match against the Carolina Hurricanes on Sunday, stopping 30 shots on goal and allowing the Washington Capitals a 2-1 victory. That won him his second Man of the Match award in 3 matches, all of which were wins for the Capitals. Sunday's victory secured a return to the first place slot for Washington in the Southeast Division, with 50 points in the middle of the season. Now, lastly, two-time cyclocross champion Zdeněk Štybar has taken the Patrick UCI Cyclocross Cup in Levin, France. A stumble on the part of runner-up Kevin Powels in the last leg sealed victory for Štybar, who afterwards said the Belgian had been in top form. Indeed, Štybar finished with a 16-second lead in his first cup victory of the year. 30 seconds behind him was countryman Radomír Šimůnek in third place. Despite the win, Štybar falls short of an overall win in this season's World Cup, with Powels topping the overall World Cup rankings in the elite men's category with 1 round left to race.
Christian Falvey there with Monday's Sport. Now on Radio Prague, a real adventurer. In this week's one-on-one, Sarah Borůvka talks to the extreme angler Jakub Wagner, already a star in his native Czech Republic and becoming well-known abroad with his National Geographic show, Fish Warrior.
It is rare to catch world record-holding extreme angler Jakub Wagner in the Czech Republic. After all, he spends most of his time on fishing expeditions to remote destinations like the Amazon in search of what he calls freshwater giants. In his home country, the 30-year-old fisherman has become a star in his own right and is currently on billboards all over the city as the face of a new advertising campaign for a well-known Czech bank. He also has his own TV show on National Geographic, Fish Warrior, and last year he appeared on the famous American Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I spoke to Jakub Wagner about fish, the importance of going after your dreams, and how he first discovered his love for angling.
I discovered my love for fishing when I was around 5 years old. And in this time, I caught my first big fish. It was carp, around 20 pounds, 10 kilos. And since this time, I was completely crazy about fishing.
That's a remarkable catch for a first catch, but you also come from a very musical family. Your father is the well-known producer Karel Wagner. What was it like to grow up in an environment with a very famous dad?
I think my father is a great person. He's a very good musician, but what's most important, he's a great father. And he didn't like fishing, but I'm supposed to be a musician like my father. But, you know, I found my own way of life, and now I'm a fisherman and I enjoy my life and I really like nature. So my father is a musician, I'm a fisherman.
When you were studying at the conservatory, that was when you decided to pursue your dream of becoming a professional fisherman. Was that a difficult decision to just run away from everything?
It wasn't definitely easy because, as I said, my father was really proud that I'm studying Prague Conservatory of Music, and my mother as well, and they were hoping I will be a musician. But I knew that my dream was become a fisherman and live with nature and travel a lot and see different places, different people all around the world. And when I was around 17, 18, I decided to try this different way of life. And I said, okay, I have to leave the school because otherwise I will continue studying and then I will go probably somewhere else studying and I will have no time to do all my dreams. So I decided to leave school and do my best.
And you went from Prague straight to Australia. That is certainly a huge step. Maybe you can tell me a bit about your beginnings there, how you managed to make a living, how you were learning the language, all that.
It was very difficult because when I said to my father I left school, he kicked me out of the home. So it wasn't easy and my family was really unhappy with me. So I asked my grandmother if she could lend me some money. So I bought flight ticket to Australia and I went there and of course with no working permission. So I tried to find a work to get some money. But it was really difficult, so first 3 months I had to live in Central Park and eat whatever I could. So it wasn't definitely easy. And then I found work in one Italian restaurant. The name, I still remember the name, was Limoncello. And I was a kitchen hand over there, $5 per 1 hour. And it was great school of life. And after 6 months, I met one great man. His name is Rex Hunt. These days he was, and he still is, a very famous fisherman in Australia and all around the world. He had his own TV show on Discovery Channel for 15 years, from Monday to Friday. And we became friends, and when I was leaving Australia, he told me, look, when I managed to have my own TV show here in Australia, try it in Czech Republic as well, you know, try to make your dreams. So I came back here and I tried it.
When would you say was the moment that you were able to live from fishing and you kind of had a breakthrough from after these very difficult early days in Australia?
When I came back from Australia, I tried to listen, my Nestor Rex Hunt, and I was calling and calling and calling to Czech National Television for 3 months every day and asking to get a meeting with the director of Czech Television to speak with him about my idea to have my own TV show about fishing. And they were telling me he has no time for 3 months. And after 3 months, I get a meeting, and I went there, and he told me, look, you have 15 minutes, no more. And I told him, look, I would like to have my own TV show about fishing. And he asked me, okay, is this the sport where you sit, you know, on the riverbank, you don't speak at all, you don't catch anything, and after 5-6 hours, you know, you go home? And I told him, yes, that's the sport, but it can be a great fun, it can be a huge adrenaline, we can travel a lot. And I think it can be a great show. And after the next 3 months, I had my first show on Czech National Television. So it was a great luck.
That is a great success, and I'm sure a great relief too to have managed that. But since then, you have also had TV series on other channels, among them National Geographic, where your show Fish Warrior is airing. And you've published a book about your experience, My Friend the Catfish. How much time do you have to actually go fishing these days with all these media appearances and all this other work?
I try to fish as much as I can, so it means always. And of course, it's not only about fishing. I have to do my homeworks as well, like a lot of writing and preparing the expedition. So I would say I'm like 2-3 weeks fishing somewhere in the jungle, and then I come back here for let's say, 1 week, 10 days, and I go again somewhere else, and I do all the rest. But I do fishing, at least in my head, 24/7.
And if we talk a bit about preparing these exhibitions, what does that entail? What do you have to do before you can take off?
It depends where you want to go. I mean, if you go somewhere to Texas, where you have a lot of civilization around, you don't need to prepare yourself, you know, just buy a flight ticket, take your tackle, and you can go. But if you go somewhere in the middle of the jungle, I mean, into the Amazon, for example, or somewhere somewhere to Africa, then it takes time. And again, it depends for how long, where. So sometimes I need to prepare myself and all expedition at least 3-4 months in advance, sometimes 2-3 years. It really depends where you want to go.
And I've also heard that as regards to the fish, you don't actually eat them. You always release the fish you catch. Can you explain a bit which philosophy is behind that approach?
Yeah, I really do only catch and release because, you know, if you fish for these giant fish, they can grow over 2-3 meters, you know, weighing 400, 500 pounds, even kilos. Then it's kind of silly to kill them, you know. These beautiful animals are bigger and older than you, and I have no reason to kill them. Why? What I want is to show them to people all around the world, and show to people, look, we have these beautiful creatures, not only in oceans but in freshwater as well, but they are disappearing. We have, you know, few more years, I would say 30, 40, maximum 50 years to see them, because they are disappearing extremely fast.
You've already touched on that, but I believe your special interest are those really large freshwater fish. That is the specimen you are most interested in. What has been the most impressive such fish you've ever caught, or any moment where you thought, oh wow, I never thought I would get to see this kind of fish up close?
There were many of them. And probably the most interesting fish for me was my first arapaima in the Amazon. It was kind of a miracle for me because, you know, we discovered first wild arapaima after many, many years in the jungle. That fish wasn't huge, was maybe around, let's say, 30, 40 kilos, kind of baby, but it was an amazing feeling.
And I'd imagine that it's not always without danger going into these extreme fishing situations. Has there ever been a moment where you feared for your life, or you thought, okay, this is getting really dodgy, I'm afraid?
To be honest, no, because if you travel to all these strange places, you have to know you're not traveling to Maldives or Hawaii. It's difficult, it can be dangerous, and you have to know that. You have to prepare yourself, but you can't think about it, okay? You go there, you know what you are going to do there, and you have to survive.
And I believe you also hold several world records in this area. Can you maybe list a few for our listeners?
Yes, I can. Some of them, the biggest arapaima gigas in the world, all tackle world record. That fish was over 3 meters and more than 150 kilos. Then one more arapaima, then Wells catfish from Italy.
over 2 meters 50. Then what else? Yeah, I don't remember very well. Probably 7 or 8 of them. I'm not sure.
Wow, yeah, that is impressive, though. And I have heard that you also sometimes take celebrities fishing with you. Can you tell us about some of the people who have accompanied you on your tours or on your expeditions?
In Czech Republic, there are a lot of fishermen and as well a lot of very famous people fish. Now, you would be surprised how many fishermen we have in Czech Republic. Actually, we have more than 1 million fishermen in a country where you have something a little bit over 10 million people. So it's more like 10%. And yeah, I fished with our president, Václav Klaus, and a lot of celebrities are great fishermen, even women like Kateřina Brožová. She's a fisherman as well. And Karel Gott, he used to fish as well when he was young. So, but my father, he's not a fisherman.
So that might be the one person who you won't get out there with.
No. He was actually fishing with me after 15 years. Last year in autumn, and he fished with me for 2 days, and he caught his first big Wells catfish around 45 kilos. And actually, it was one of the most important fish for me, one of the most beautiful day.
Oh, that sounds so nice. I'm sure that was a great experience. I just would like to briefly also talk about your experience in the U.S. I believe that when you were on The Tonight Show, you really charmed Jay Leno. Maybe you can talk to us about your experience working in American TV and what that is like.
I really love United States, you know. I think it's a great place to live and great people, you know. There are as well some difficulties, but you have difficulties in every country. People in Czech Republic are jealous. A lot of them are really jealous. In United States, it's different. You know, if would someone say in Tonight Show, you know, today I bought a new Ferrari. Everybody would stand, you know, and say, yeah, you are great. I really believe that you had to work really hard to buy such a car. If you would say something like this in Czech television, you know, everybody would say, ah, how he managed to buy such an incredibly expensive car. I think there has to be something behind. So that's why I really like United States. And show with Jay Leno was great, you know. He's such a nice guy. I didn't know him before, I need to be honest. And when I was waiting there, you know, in 1 second there was a guy standing 2 meters, you know, from me. He had, you know, his old jeans, old t-shirt and plate full of fruits. And that was Jay Leno, you know. Normal guy, great guy. He was talking with me about Czech beer, Czech cars. He loves, he's great fan of cars and great personality.
It's a nice experience, I'm sure. And lastly, you just got back from Amazonia a few days ago. May I ask you what you're up to this year in 2012, what you're planning to do?
The only thing what I really want is stay happy and do what I really want to do. Go fishing, make some TV shows, write a new book, and do a lot of work with children and teach them how to fish and teach them respect for nature. That's very important, and that's it.
Sarah Borówka was speaking to Jakub Wagner, the fish warrior, in this week's One-on-One. And we're just about out of time here on Radio Prague. So from me, Peter Smith, on a cold and snowy day here in Prague. Until next time, bye-bye.